The bicentennial of the Lewis and Clark expedition has inspired throngs of present-day adventurers to follow in their footsteps across the American terrain. Among them was local photographer Richard Mack. With his camera and tripod in hand, Mack set out to capture the American landscape as Lewis and Clark would have seen it 200 years ago. The photographs that resulted are collected in Mack's award-winning new book, The Lewis and Clark Trail, American Landscapes. Mack says it wasn't the story of Lewis and Clark that originally led him to the project, but the opportunity to capture America's natural beauty.
It was the fact that it was the American landscape, and it was two-thirds of this country's American landscape. And it was that idea that really galvanized me to do a thing on landscapes. And then we had the theme of Lewis and Clark. Now, I admit, I was not a Lewis and Clark fan when I started. I knew what we know in high school. So I very quickly studied up, read a lot of the journals, because there are a lot of different journals, and watched a couple of, like, Ken Burns' film on them. So I did a lot of research over the next couple months and realized this was perfect for me, and kind of formulated how I wanted to do it, which was to go to the locations they were at the same time of year, so that you got, as a reader, their perspective of what the trail was like.
So how did you approach that logistically, given the other demands on your time and the length of this journey and the difficulty in trying to isolate specific locations at specific times of the year?
I sat down and I made up a list of all the locations I wanted to go to based on what I thought would be, you know, good photographs and good landscape photographs. So immediately I struck out the idea of any cities, because I didn't, I don't care that they were in downtown Kansas City. No offense to Kansas City. I love Kansas City.
Hey, that's my hometown.
Hey, it's my grandparents' hometown. But that's not what I wanted. I wanted to see nature the way they would have possibly seen it.
Yeah.
So I sat down and made out a list. And because they were out there, from spring through winter of almost 3 years, any month I had three different locations to be. So now I had to figure out how I was going to hop skip around the country to get these locations all at the same time. My original goal was to shoot everything in 18 months, and it came out in 24 months.
So what was the most difficult part of this undertaking for you?
Besides the scheduling, getting to some of the locations that are so remote that you literally have to either walk in or canoe in or fly over, and spending 2 days driving to the middle of Montana from Illinois. But from the photography aspect, that's it.
Which were some of the images and locations that you chose just on the basis of your own personal affinity for them, not because they were necessarily symbolic of anything along the Corps' expedition?
Well, one of the interesting places is in Missouri, actually, at Weston Bend State Park. I spent more time there than I thought I would when I originally got there. I spent like 3 or 4 days there, which for me was a fairly long time to spend in one place.
This is in northwestern Missouri.
It's just north of Kansas City. And it was just a beautiful park, and it gave you the real perspective that they probably had right in there. And we had a full moon that night, and it turned out to be this little delicious place where I could get details of the forest, of the plant life, along with the river, that really kind of looked like what they had right in that area.
How difficult was it to find places that were somewhat pristine and untouched and could take you back to the kind of landscape that Lewis and Clark themselves experienced?
Well, south of where the Yellowstone River meets the Missouri and on the border of North Dakota and Montana, it's extremely difficult because we've dammed it and the Army Corps of Engineers has made it basically for shipping purposes. So a lot of dredging has happened. A lot of jetties hold things in place. So south of there, it's hard to find places. West of there, it's relatively untouched. I mean, you get out into the Missouri Breaks area, it looks exactly like it did 200 years ago, and you can actually stand on a rock and read their journals and view everything in sight that they saw and wrote about, and that's an incredible feeling. So those were actually kind of easier, even though getting there was harder. Those photographs kind of made themselves.
As you were there in those moments, thinking less about the images that you were trying to capture and more about the experience that Lewis and Clark and the rest of the members of their expedition faced, what went through your mind as you reflected looking out on that landscape?
Well, one, and this happened on the very first trip I did out to a place called Double Ditch Indian Site in North Dakota. My initial thought on the very first time I saw the Missouri was, I just spent roughly 16 hours driving out here. These guys took almost a full summer and spring to get up to here. and I did it in a few hours. And the fact that they toiled that long going upriver and didn't really lose anything, you know, they didn't have any real strife between the men, you know, it just seemed to work as a great unit. It was unbelievable to me. And the fact that they did that then for the next 2.5 years, I'm in awe of how these guys did this trip, just from the physical side of it, if nothing else.
Well, especially when you factor in the winters and the winter-like conditions that they faced even as early as September in the calendar year as they headed west across the country. Looking at some of those images that you capture during the winter months and of just the cold snow, it just seems so remote and desolate, so lonely, so isolating, so frigid. What did you think about as you stood there yourself trying to capture those images?
Well, on some of them I thought, darn, it's cold. You know, there was a couple of days when I was out there and it was 15 below and the wind is blowing about 30 miles an hour and I'm the only one there and I'm happy, you know, because this is exactly the weather I needed. And I'm thinking, one, I'm kind of silly for being here, but two, this is exactly what I wanted, and the light was doing the right things. There's a shot from Lolo Pass where the mountaintop just happened to grab the right amount of sun at sunrise, and it just was one of those shots where you go, this is perfect. And those kind of things, you just go, wow, this is great. But I wouldn't want to stay out here and then have to walk over that mountain.
And sleep nights on end.
Yeah, I was sleeping, you know, in relative comfort at that point.
You did camp, though, for most of the early part of the journey, didn't you?
Yeah, for the early part of the journey, I was either in a hotel room that was like 2 hours away from where I needed to be, so that didn't really work out. So I would camp most of the time. And the second year, I actually bought a pickup with a little slide-in camper that made my life a lot easier.
We're talking here on 848 on Chicago Public Radio with Richard Mack. The landscape photographer is out with a new book. It's called The Lewis and Clark Trail, American Landscapes. It contains more than 200 images of the West as captured by Richard Mack as he retraced much of the journey of the Corps of Discovery. What did you learn about the American West as you followed this trail?
Well, I learned, one, that it's big. I mean, it's much bigger than you think, and especially if you're used to traveling the interstates. Once you get off the interstates, a lot of my traveling was actually on gravel roads, trying to stay as close to the river as I could. But like Montana, most of their roads are gravel. And, they, you know, that's just the way they get around. They think nothing of it. It's just one huge, beautiful place that goes from... Well, in this case, it goes from, you know, the forest of the Midwest to the Great Plains out to the Bitterroots, and then you get to the Oregon coastline and Washington coastline. And it's just, every place you turn, there's another photograph. That was the amazing thing to me. I couldn't not take a picture.
What were your favorite locations along the way?
I'm not sure I've figured that one out yet. I mean, I've already mentioned Weston Bend. The Charles Russell Wilderness and the White Cliffs area out in Montana are clearly gorgeous because they are literally wilderness in the way it was 200 years ago. The Bitterroot Mountains in Idaho are stunning. I mean, it's the back of the Rocky Mountains as you imagine it to be. And the Oregon coast is gorgeous. You know, the Columbia Gorge, some of those places you just can't beat. And the only thing about the Columbia Gorge is it's pretty populated. So that if you're in Idaho in the Bitterroots and you're up in the mountains, there's nobody around. And you can follow the exact footsteps they did. So it was great.
As I look through so many of these photographs, I couldn't help but think back to some of the great landscape painters and paintings of the late 19th century and their use of light. They would paint these mythical images of gorges and canyons and the entire landscape unfolding before them. And then this light would come in. It would almost be like a divine light shining through the clouds and illuminating just one portion of the painting. And as I look through what you were able to capture here, there's a sense of that as well, that there's something about the light in many of these photographs that goes deeper than just documentary photography.
I think that is true. I mean, anytime you're trying to make a great photograph or a photograph that people will like, you've got to be conscious of what the light's doing. And that's why it's not fun to be with a photographer sometimes, because we'll wait on that light. And sometimes we get really lucky and the light happens exactly the way we needed it. And it hits that hilltop or whatever it is, or the river, just the way you need it, and you're thankful. You know, I can remember the very last day of shooting, I was sitting in a field, and I was just sitting thinking about all the things that I'd done over the 2 years, and I was really thankful for all the help I had from wherever it is that we get this help that created the light in the right places and put me there at the right time. But you also have to be in the position to accept that, you know, and to be there at the right place at the right time, and that's where the planning comes in.
What do you think these photographs can help us understand about the expedition and its enduring impact on our country just from looking at these images?
Well, I think it will help us to understand the expedition in that, you know, it gives us another view of what they went through. You know, they didn't have a photographer. They didn't have a painter even, which Lewis actually wrote about he wished he had thought of. And so really, this is the first book I know of that really gives you the idea of what they saw and shows you the entire landscape the way they could have seen it. So I think that's a big factor. But I think other than that, it's really a good look at the American landscape in general and how vast it is and how we really do need to protect it. Because there are places that you can't see what they saw anymore. And whether that's in part of Nebraska or Missouri or even Great Falls. If you go to Great Falls, which were these stunning falls when they came through, now we have dams right behind every single one of those falls. And they produce a lot of power for Montana, but we don't have the Great Falls anymore. Now, was that a good trade-off? I'm not here to say one way or the other. All I can tell you is I couldn't take a picture the way they described it because these dams are there. There are other places where we haven't touched it, and you can get some of that emotion that they had about seeing the beauty of the Rockies that they wrote about. So I think that's really important that we start looking at what we need to do to protect some of this stuff.
The book is titled The Lewis and Clark Trail, American Landscapes. It's the work of photographer Richard Mack. Richard, thanks very much, and congratulations to you.
Thank you.